I will start. He may have some comments when he gets here. This is the Freedom to Breathe Act. Most of the members of this committee have heard this in the Health Policy Committee. It's also been to the Commerce Committee, and it is now on this committee due to a fiscal note that was put on in the because of an amendment in the Commerce Committee. This bill, as I'm sure you all know, prevents smoking in restaurants and bars, public transportation, buses, trucks, taxis, and it extends the protection to workers that we normally do. It's quite clear from the Surgeon General's report that secondhand smoke is detrimental to the health of people, and we like to protect workers. What this bill does is say that those workers that work in bars, restaurants, taxi cabs, whatever, get the same kind of protections that we provide for people for other dangerous things in the workplace. And given the time constraints, I will now turn it over to people who are going to testify.
Thank you, Representative Huntley. And again, I would like to remind the testifiers that we are slating 5 minutes for each side of this issue, so you can address the committee. Dr. Manley. And the other testifiers on this side of the issue can also come down to prepare for their testimony. Welcome to the committee. Dr. Manley, if you could state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mark Manley. I am Vice President and Medical Director of Population Health at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota. And I'm here today speaking on behalf of the Freedom to Breathe Coalition, which includes nonprofit health organizations, health plans, hospitals, and unions. And I will make my comments very, very brief. In addition to the Surgeon General's report stating that the health hazards of secondhand smoke are now indisputable, many, many other scientific organizations have reviewed the evidence of the health effects of secondhand smoke, and all major scientific organizations that have examined this have concluded that it causes illness and death in non-smokers. And this includes organizations like the National Cancer Institute, the World Health Organization, the American Medical Association, and a lot much longer list that I won't read to you. But in addition to the harmful health effects of secondhand smoke, there are also some important financial impacts of secondhand smoke. All the diseases that are caused by secondhand smoke, in addition to harming people's lives, also cost money to treat. So all the heart disease and lung cancer that are caused by secondhand smoke cost us dearly. We've handed out a study that we recently put out that looks at the costs of diseases caused by secondhand smoke in Minnesota alone, and the results are quite large. The total cost of treating people with diseases caused by secondhand smoke in Minnesota is $215 million per year. This is a conservative figure that doesn't include some indirect costs, but even that $215 million per year is more in just medical costs than, say, what the state spends on early childhood education, transportation, and the Department of Agriculture combined. So it's an enormous total. The one other point of science I'd like to put in front of the committee is about the science of ventilation in places of work. There's ample scientific research that shows that it's impossible to ventilate away the harmful effects of secondhand smoke in normal workplaces. Secondhand smoke contains both harmful particles and harmful gases. Ventilation systems used in these buildings cannot eliminate exposure either, but it's particularly bad at eliminating harmful gases. The reason that the 15 other states that have passed clean indoor air laws have not turned to ventilation as a solution is because it doesn't work. So, Mr. Chair and members, the real reason to pass the Freedom to Breathe Act is to save the 666,000 Minnesotans who are made ill by secondhand smoke each year, and to prevent the at least 580 deaths in Minnesota that occur each year because of secondhand smoke. That's why this act is so important. And the benefits of this bill, the health effects and the financial benefits of this bill, don't start happening until the bill is passed and enacted. So I would encourage you to pass and enact this bill as quickly as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Manley. And I was just informed we have 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, so on to the next testifier.
All right.
And you can state your name for the record.
We'll see how I do. Good afternoon. My name is Elizabeth Gates. I'm a manager and co-owner of a 300-seat restaurant in St. Cloud, established over 34 years ago. I'm not here professing to be an expert in financial or medical areas. I'm here as a business owner and one not afraid to say that I support this bill. Restaurant management is what I know. It's what I do. Almost every job I've had has been in the restaurant industry or teaching others about the industry. So when opponents to this bill tell me or any other hospitality worker that if we don't like to work and smoke, we should get another job, I take issue. Get another job. For much of my staff, this is their other job. I have teachers who cannot make ends meet on their salary, who serve a couple of days a week. I have a business professional who has medical bills for his daughter to pay for. I have parents for whom this job allows them the flexibility they need to care for their children. All these people do this job not just by choice, but sometimes by necessity. If everyone in the hospitality industry that took issue with working in a smoking environment left to find another job, it would leave quite a hole that the Minnesota job market would be unable to absorb. Opponents of this bill will tell you that businesses will close because people will not be able to smoke in their establishments. People are social by nature, and they will continue to come together in public places regardless of any limitations on where they can smoke. The social nature of people will continue to bring them to an atmosphere they enjoy. My business, who went smoke-free by choice, is a prime example. Smokers who initially said they would not return have been back, even with the choice to go elsewhere. Others opposing the bill will talk about ventilation. By this argument, they recognize the fact that the effect of secondhand smoke is harmful, so let's vent it away. But since the cost of venting even a small establishment could cost tens of thousands of dollars, requiring expensive new ventilation systems just to stay open, it would be economically detrimental to most independent businesses. We all know that the local corner bar cannot compete financially with a Champs down the street if they were forced to spend tens of thousands of dollars just to stay competitive. The hospitality industry is extremely volatile. Restaurants and bars open and close almost every day for many reasons. Please keep in mind when reviewing any report, the opening of a new chain restaurant in a small community will have a much greater impact on local independent businesses than any smoking legislation ever could. And not too long ago, Minnesota passed a new law making seatbelt use mandatory. Like smoking, seatbelt use is considered a personal choice. While this bill was still being considered, it was stated that if we had 90% compliance with the seatbelt law, we could save 40 to 50 lives per year. With that idea, with that statement, seatbelt use was no longer considered just an issue of personal choice. It was considered an issue of health and safety. The majority must have agreed because the bill became law.
Ms. Gates, if you could conclude, please.
2 seconds here. The bill before you asked the same question. How many lives are we willing to risk? How do we tell them their health, their life, is worth less than the fear of a loss of a few dollars?
Thank you, Ms. Gates, and I greatly apologize to the committee and to also those here, but we have reached the 5 minutes for the pro side of this issue, and to stay to our word and to stay on schedule, since we have many other committees and bills to consider, I do have to move on to the next other side of this issue. So to Mr. Ryland, I apologize, but we'll have to go on to the...
After 50 years of smelling fumes, smoke, and I want to get to, don't get to speak?
Mr. Ryland, I apologize. Welcome to the committee, and as you know, we have 5 minutes, and we're going to stick
to that. Committee chair and members of the committee, my name is Charles Sankler, and I am the owner and proprietor of Fabulous Ferns Bar and Grill in St. Paul, and also a member of the Minnesota Tavern League. I'm just going to take a quick minute. 8 years ago, we went non-smoking in our restaurant based on what we perceived our customers wanted. 3 years ago, we eliminated all trans fats from our restaurant based on our investigation and what our customers wanted. 2 years ago, we complied with the Ramsey County smoking ordinance, invested money in HVAC, sealed off the bar from the restaurant area, had rave reviews from smokers and non-smokers alike. Our interior of our bar was described as pristine. Had a testing unit come in to test particulates in the interior of our bar. We had less particulates in the interior of our bar than we did in the parking lot of our restaurant by a factor of 10 to 1. We had a factor of 20 to 1, 25 to 1, less particulates in our bar area with our HVAC and filtering on than we had on the bus stop out on the street. I have my daughter, my son, and my goddaughter all working there, and I wouldn't do anything to harm them or my customers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sinkler. And there is a question, and we won't keep time with the questions. So, Representative Pepper.
Chair Hosh, my question is about in the decision to have such a short debate over this. This is a huge public policy issue. If this were to go through, it has huge implications. And I feel that there are a lot of people that came here to speak on both sides of the issue, and I know we've got a lot of bills on the agenda, but I've had this problem in other committees, too, where we need to vet the issue, and I just don't think you can do that when you're only given 5 minutes on each side. I feel like I'd like to ask some folks questions. I had some questions for that gentleman, but I feel very rushed for time, so I would ask you to reconsider the amount of bills. I would suggest this type of bill should take the whole hour. We should give it at least that much time when you're talking about a potential major, major policy change, and I would like you to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Pepin. It's understandable. But
you want me to let Charles sit back down?
No, not at the moment, but, you know, we were supposed to start at noon. We had floor session at 10. It went an hour over. We've already taken a bill off the agenda, and we have to move through bills with the aggressive timeline that we have, and we're trying to address this. It's been at two other committees, and we'll be going forward with two other committees.
Well, Representative Hosh, I just have to say, or Chair Hosh, I just have to say, I think that's a huge disservice to the people of Minnesota, and I'm disappointed with your decision on that. I think when we're dealing with these issues, we really have to. I understand floor session went longer than you potentially thought, but you know, when we have session in the morning, we don't really know how long it's going to be. So I guess I just want to voice my disappointment with your decision.
Thank you, Representative Pepin. If we can continue on the testimony, and Ms. Jeffers.
Sue Jeffers, Seven Herbs Bar and Restaurant, Minnesota Tavern League, and Representative Pepin, we hear this in every committee. In every committee, they tell us we have lots of things to do. So hello, my representatives who are supposed to represent you guys. Take a look at this survey. Star Tribune just put one out. Representative Huntley just went on Channel 5 and said he's going to lose votes on this because almost 60% of the population of the state of Minnesota does not support strict smoking bans. Spring Lake Park just voted for a resolution saying no smoking ban in their county or state, and their responses are 2-1 in favor of what Spring Lake Park did. Of the 15 states with smoking bans, almost all of them have exemptions of one kind or another. As far as the, I passed out another sheet of paper, which is right here. There's on the very back page, I would like everybody to take a look at the Surgeon General comments on there. The debate is not over, and that is not what the Surgeon General report stated. I'm going to give the rest of my time to you.
Thank you, Ms. Jefferson. Welcome to the committee, if you can state your name for the record.
Sure. John Hamilton, Woodbury, Minnesota. I'm here to testify on behalf of myself as a citizen of Minnesota. I consider myself an anti-smoker, but I'm on this side of the docket today for the simple fact that I'd like to follow up with what the doctor said earlier. The doctor was very clear saying that in normal workplaces that they cannot provide the proper ventilation. That's why he's against it. What this committee really needs to look at is look and say, can we leave a abnormal or do a special ventilation system? I'm a member of ASHRAE, the engineering community. I stand behind the studies, the works that we publish. However, those are published in normal working conditions. I see two sides of this argument that's real clear. Is the one is to restrict it down to nothing. Currently, this legislature does nothing for children protected from secondhand smoke. You can go to the Valley Fair, you can go to the zoo, you can go to your state fair. Nothing to do with children. What it gets down to is it's about the money and who's going to get the money and the politics of it. But yet we want to restrict what bar owners can do and allow people to do and smoke indoors. In our HVAC community, we build clean rooms that only allow 10 particles per million cubic feet of air to have contaminants in it. So to say you can't build a ventilation system to eradicate secondhand smoke is wrong. It doesn't take it. A normal ventilation system can't. A special ventilation system can. And that's what this group of people need to do down here today, is you need to look at it and say, well, do we need to look at it and say, yeah, we're going to have to build this place with this type of ventilation system to alleviate the secondhand smoke, and you can't put in a normal ventilation system if you're a bar or restaurant owner. There's no common sense going on here saying, yeah. I mean, we control anthrax in labs. People use the argument saying, yeah, if one end of the pool is dirty, the whole pool is dirty. No, that's not true, because when we bring anthrax and other diseases into inside spaces within the walls of a building, we control them with ventilation. It's easy with pressure control. It does cost a lot more money, but if a bar owner is willing to spend the extra money for his constituents, build a special ventilation system that's not normal and fits in the ASHRAE study, they should be allowed to do it. It should be a choice.
If you can conclude, please.
I'm done. If you tell me I'm done, I'm done, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. And I do apologize to the testifiers, but we have 12 amendments before this committee. That gives us right now about 2 minutes per amendment in trying to do discussion. And I wish we would have more time for this bill, but that's the card that's the hand that's been dealt to us. So we're going to have to move forward and continue discussion. And
So I don't have time. I 2 seconds. I just handed you a handout.
Mr. Wernemont, I believe that you've done a handout, that you provided some materials to the committee, and I think we're going to have to stick to that.
I hope you at least look at that compromise and take that to heart. There's some big funding that could help us out. We're being devastated financially by these bans.
We will do so and encourage the members of the committee to look at that. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank you for the time down here today. And the other part that I did leave off, I shouldn't have, is you're destroying a lot of jobs. If they build these big ventilation systems, it's more work for our Minnesota residents. Thank you.
At this point, we will call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. We need to move the minutes from the last committee meeting. Somebody would be coming up.
I'll move the minutes.
Representative Broad moves the minutes. Moves to approve the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. Then we will continue with House File 305, and Representative Broad, I believe you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question is for Representative Huntley. Could you tell me how well the situation in Duluth is working today?
Representative Huntley. Mr. Chair and Representative Broad, they have a ban in restaurants. Some of the bars that don't serve a lot of food still have smoking. The net tax receipts from restaurants and bars over the last number of years since this passed has not declined. It's gone up at the same rate as the statewide average. We are a border city, so residents can go across the bridge if they desire, but there's been no decline in tax revenues from bars and restaurants in the city of Duluth.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up. So if I heard you correctly, there is not a full ban in Duluth. And if I remember some testimony from another committee, I'm trying to remember, if I recall correctly, the voters actually voted to allow smoking in the bars. And if I read the bill correctly, we would be preempting the decision that was made by the voters in the city of Duluth. Is that correct?
What the bill does, Mr. Chair and Representative Broad, is set a statewide minimum. I've been urged by a number of members of the Duluth Chamber of Commerce to have this bill passed and have it go statewide. They feel that gives them an equal footing with the rest of the state.
Mr. Chairman, just one last follow-up. Mr. Chairman, I think the committee should know that the effect of this legislation is to essentially take away the vote that the city of Duluth, the citizens of Duluth, made in allowing bars to remain smoking in your city. And I guess I have some concern over the preemption of things that seem to be working quite well.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. At this time, we'll move to the office, but I believe Representative Huntley moves for House File 305 to be passed with recommendation to the Committee of Finance. And to your bill, Representative Huntley, then we can move on to the amendments.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Severson, as I gave my opening remarks, pretty brief, but maybe he has a few words to say.
Thank you, Representative Huntley. And Mr. Chair and members, this is one of those bills that I think is the responsibility of a responsible legislature. In 2006, the Attorney General came out with a kind of a land shift decision, and that's this report that you see before you today. And that basically said there is no amount of secondhand smoke that is not a health hazard. And so that is a line in the sand that basically says to us as policy makers that we have a decision to make. Will we abide by science and will we restrict the actual access that people have to that smoke through restaurants and bars by creating a level playing field across the state, or will we ignore this problem? And that's why we're here today, is to discuss the issue, bring out the salient points, and I believe that those have been addressed in several other committees. I look forward to the discussion here today, but I think on the bottom line is we have to make responsible decisions as policymakers, and that responsible decision is to create a level playing field in a statewide smoking ban.
Thank you, Representative Severson, and welcome to the committee. We have one question before we move on to the discussion of amendments. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Severson, has OSHA weighed in on this issue?
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Erickson. I'm trying to access my files here, and I don't believe that OSHA has on this particular one. But
That's correct.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Well, Representative Severson, if OSHA hasn't weighed in on this, then I think we need to give second thought to banning secondhand smoke. Because they are the regulatory federal agency that should have spoken out on this if indeed this is such a danger. They speak out on everything else. So I want to, of course, speak against this bill. But more than that, what I want to know, where is OSHA on this? And I haven't found anything in my research that says OSHA is speaking out on banning smoking in any place. And, this is free market, Representative Severson, and I realize you and I are friends, but on this issue, we're far apart. And we've got to let the market drive this. And I think that's when OSHA will start to weigh in, when they see the free market working and people demanding things. Until then, this legislature should stay out of the business of private industry and let their consumers, their customers, drive this issue.
And Representative Huntley, Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Erickson. And I would just bring out the issue between federal and state preemption, the ability for the state to make its own determinations, particularly in the case of OSHA, where OSHA is looking at health issues. And I think we have, as policymakers, having the Attorney General's Surgeon General's report basically drawing that line in the sand, as I had stated, that this is a significant health issue. It becomes incumbent on us as policymakers not to wait for the federal government to make a stand, but to go forward in this. We've already got over 40% of the state has said that this is a hazard. We've moved to the smoke-free environment. This is a process in work, and I believe that this is the next step. We should not wait for OSHA to take a stand. We should not wait for the federal government to take a stand. We as policymakers, even in this committee, need to take a stand on this issue today.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and members, if we were to wait for OSHA, we would wait forever. OSHA examines the average workplace about once every 100 years. So they come around when somebody's been killed in a plant or when somebody's suffered a serious injury. They don't really go around and spend a lot of time looking at the average working place.
Yep. Thank you, Representative Huntley. At this point, we'll try to move on to the pile of amendments that are before us. The first amendment we'll consider is the A21 amendment, and I will move the A21 amendment to House File 305. The reason I'm offering this amendment is I believe that our bars and our service establishments do the best that they can to regulate their environments. There's a lot of regulation that's involved, whether it's the sale of liquor to underage minors, the training of their staff and patron and wait staff. And many times, even with the best of intentions, some individuals who may want to covertly go underneath our laws, even without the knowledge of the owners or the workers of an establishment, can still penalize the establishment. So I would like to have the misdemeanor penalty in this current legislation be reduced to a petty misdemeanor. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, I have no intention of making people have criminal records or serious things, so I would support this amendment. It treats the owners of establishment the same way as we treat people that are in our establishments if they happen to smoke.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chair, when we're making a change to the penalties, I would assume then this bill would have to go to public safety for them to take a look at how this impacts other penalties in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Brown, there was already a penalty phase within this bill as it is. So I think the current process that's going through the committee is appropriate, and the chairs have an ability to request a bill. Representative Abler.
And so, Mr. Chair, this would actually lower the penalty less than selling a non-American flag after a non-Minnesota American flag.
Seems like a good idea. Thank you, Representative Abler. No comment. And to Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would oppose this amendment. I think that a misdemeanor is entirely appropriate. This is knowingly fails to comply. This is not somebody who just accidentally doesn't realize what they're supposed to do. This is a pretty high standard of proof, knowingly fails to comply. So I think it's entirely appropriate to have it be a misdemeanor. As we know, when you have a misdemeanor, especially first offense, you rarely, rarely ever would have the maximum penalty. I mean, it could be quite a small penalty if you ever got as far as going through all the way to a conviction. So I would oppose the change.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment. This is one of my issues in the policy when we heard this bill, and so I thank you for bringing this amendment. It's one of those things that knowingly can be perceived differently. And so if a bar owner have been told, and we had got into the discussion as it relates to retaliation and things of that nature that people may do, we're not trying to create criminals here. We are trying to change how individuals smoke in bars and how the health impacts on other individuals. And so, again, Mr. Chair, I thank you for that, and I think this is a good amendment.
At this time, we'll go to the vote on the amendment. There are no further questions. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
The motion is, the A21 amendment is adopted.
Yeah.
Next amendment that we will consider is the A23 amendment. Representative Huntley to the amendment.
This is my amendment, Mr. Chair. Two things happened in the Commerce Committee. One is they extended the deadline for implementation January 1, 2009, and they also gave essentially a tax break to those bars that voluntarily adopted this no smoking prior to that date. And the tax break was they would not have to pay the liquor gross receipts tax. And the fiscal note on this is sort of indeterminate because we don't know the number of bars that would or restaurants that would apply for this or would do this. Secondly, the way the amendment is written, it would apply to all the bars and restaurants in various cities that have already implemented this, so they would also get the tax break. And this is a finance division. That tax generates about $60 million from bars and restaurants during, I believe, the biennium. And if you want a fiscal note, this will be applied to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee. And this committee will have to figure out how we're going to pay for that $30 million. And folks, you all know we're trying to fight for a COLA for nursing homes, and that $30 to $60 million will probably come from nursing homes, so I urge you to adopt this amendment to delete the section of the bill put on in Commerce that gives a tax break to those that voluntarily abide by this law or who already have no smoking.
Thank you, Representative Humphrey. Questions for the amendment? Representative Azar?
Just a comment. Nothing to do with the flag on this one, but I think that we're powerful enough as a part of the legislature that this would become a tax target issue, not a health target issue. So, and Mr. Chair, just softly to the amendment, we all know what we're going to do, and the debate needn't be very long on this. But I think if you are, I'm a restaurant fan person. My constituents are ready for that. They're not ready for the bar part. If you can do this to bars, if you can give them a soft landing, it will help, and you will cause less harm in some of the rural parts of the state. At least they can begin to prepare. And I think that the message in this amendment that went on was that please find a way to soften the blow on those who will be most harmed. And I think as you stage it, my view is if you did restaurants only and then waited a little bit, in a couple of years people would embrace a bar one because they could kind of ramp up to it. And so members will do what they want, but I appreciate the value this amendment has in keeping it there.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Abler. And I'm just kind of curious, so what does it mean to prepare? Because things aren't going to change in 2 years. If we're going to implement this in 2 years, are they going to be able to sell their business? Probably not. People aren't going to buy it, seeing an impending policy that they don't know what's on the other side. They're not going to be able to prepare for that. So I think part of that process is we need to commit to this thing. We need to say, you know, we're going to set the policy now, and then those business people will get through this, and I think on the other end they're going to be more than whole. But it's part of that process. We are offsetting a date for something we don't know what's coming down the road. How do you prepare for that?
Representative Severson, we agree on many things, and that's when we just, I think, don't agree as to what the impact would be, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Representative Brock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Huntley, I with all due respect, I don't think it's fair to match this up with nursing home funding. We all know that when the budgets are put together, it's put together and priorities are decided upon. But to match this one directly with nursing home funding, in my view, is unfortunate. This is a win-win. Keeping this segment in this bill is a win-win. I would urge members to vote against this amendment. If you're for the smoking ban, what this keeping this language in will do is it will actually move up bar owners to get this done faster, and so you're going to be protecting people faster, if that's your view. If you're against the smoking ban, what this will do is provide a soft landing for the bar owners and restaurant owners that are absolutely going to feel the effects of this ban. So I would vote urge members to vote no.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is in response to Representative Broad and to Representative Huntley. I'm thinking about this. We've talked now for weeks about the difficult decisions we're going to have to make in this committee. And we've heard a lot of compelling testimony about a number of things, including nursing homes. And yesterday, Representative Fritz and Representative Haas brought together the results of a long negotiation around long-term care. And we know that the tag on that legislation is going to be expensive. We've heard a lot from people who are disabled, and they are working very hard to live independently, and it's difficult for them because of their ability to afford an independent life. We've heard a lot about hospitals and the need to do some rebasing, and those things all count in our budget along with this question. And I think that they do all work against one another. If this tax, if the cost of the tax is going to come in the human services budget, then I think we have to weigh that against the other needs. And from my perspective, long-term care, the issues of the disabled, hospital rebasing, those things are very compelling and very important. And I think that's where we should be attending our focus in health and human services. Thank you.
Okay, with no further questions or discussion on this, Representative Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that Representative Huntley already lists one of the priorities, and Representative Murphy added a couple of stuff, couple of days ago we heard about Meals on Wheels and dental plans and medical assistance. I mean, all of this, you know, essentially a budget is like an orange. If you take a piece, give it to the smoking ban, then that piece is gone. So I'll support this amendment.
Okay. We have two more questions, and then I do want to say we've got 11 more amendments. So, Representative Peterson.
Mine's very quick, Mr. Chair. Representative Huntley, was there a rationale as to why this was taken out, this $60 million out of our committee rather than tax?
Representative Brown. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Peterson, I've been negotiating with leadership on how we're going to do the budget, and I've been told that things like if we do the governor's proposal for 125 plans, there's a $2.5 million tax loss that I have to figure out how to pay for that. So if a bill that is in this finance division, it has a cost, whether it be taxes or spending, I have to figure out how to pay for it.
Representative Ryan.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for a roll call, but I'll just say that when we talk about the state tax loss or that we have to pay for it, I think what we really should be saying is that we're talking about taxpayer dollars, and that tax loss to the state is tax relief for somebody else. So with that, Mr. Chair, a roll call.
Okay. A roll call has been requested. There is no further discussion. Representative Huntley did move the 823 amendment for adoption to the roll call.
Hosh.
Yes.
Abler.
No.
Anderson.
No.
Broad.
No.
Bung.
Yes.
Dean.
No.
Erickson.
No.
Fritz.
Yes.
Thoughtwall.
Yes.
Liebling.
Yes.
Huntley.
Yes.
Loeffler.
Yes.
Murphy.
Yes.
Wakamba.
Yes.
Kepin.
No.
Peterson.
Yes.
Rood.
Yes.
Flowick.
Yes.
Cow.
Yes.
Thiessen. Whoops. Sorry. Walker.
Yes.
Yeah. With there being 13 ayes and 6 nays, the amendment is adopted. We'll move on to the A22 amendment. Somebody wish to move the A22 amendment? Okay, nobody is moving the A22 amendment. We will then, and that worked out real well, so we'll move on to the A26 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
That's my amendment, Mr. Chair. I move the A26 amendment. Having being a member of American Legion and dealing with the VFW and members that are coming back from Iraq and from the overseas situations, they're asking me, are you going to prevent me from being able to, in my own American Legion, smoke and my own VFW? So I'm putting this forward to help out the men and women that have asked me to put this in committee. So appreciate your support, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate a roll call.
Representative Anderson moves the A26 amendment, and a roll call has been requested. Representative Hunt.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Chair.
I'm easily.
I had two bills up on the House floor today. Mr. Chair and members, American Legions and VFWs also have employees that have to work in those facilities. The purpose of this bill is to protect workers from secondhand smoke. Those are workers. Some of them don't have a choice of where they're going to work. And I urge you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have a legion that I belong to up in my area, and they have requested strongly that I support the Freedom to Breathe Act. And part of the process in this, in terms of eliminating smoking from every place else and then allowing the legions and the private clubs to have it, is you really condemn the people that are in those clubs to breathing in a more concentrated portion of smoke, because there are people that are going to come to those places and they're going to light the place up. And in most of those places, people either stop going or they curtail because of the amount of smoke. So this is targeting a group of our people that I think deserve better, and I think we need to defeat this particular amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Very, very quickly, Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if any of our testifiers or perhaps Representative Huntley can comment on. My understanding is the VFW leadership at the national level is looking at dealing with this as a health issue for veterans. We're trying to do this across the board. We've heard from the Hospitality Association and from other entities that if we create disparities, that's where the problems start. If we enact the smoking ban across the board, it will have less of a negative impact than if we do this kind of stuff, where we pick winners and losers economically and at the cost of health.
Representative Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if any representatives are here today, but in the Health Policy Committee, we heard a testimony from members of DFW and or the Legion who testified in favor of this bill because they did not want to be exposed to smoke in those establishments.
Representative Anderson, I think you wanted to respond since you're the author of
the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. And for those who haven't looked at the bill, it does show a preference here for on page 5 for traditional Native American ceremonies and for the Native American reservations to be exempt from the smoking ban. So if we're saying we're going to be exempting, we're not going to exempt everybody, but that's not true.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Huntley, I noticed the fiscal note on lawful gambling shows zero effect. Would you comment on that, please? And then, Mr. Chair, I'd like to have lawful gambling folks come forward and talk about the effect that our no vote on this amendment would have. Because, Mr. Chair, I support this amendment.
Were you addressing Representative
Huntley? Yes, Representative Huntley. Will you comment on why there's no fiscal note?
Mr. Chair, there have been studies. The fiscal note shows there apparently is no impact on the state revenues with this bill. There have been outside studies that show that there has been a decline in charitable gambling all across the state, whether or not there is smoking in those facilities or not. It does appear, to be honest, that there is a bigger drop in charitable gambling in those communities that have smoking bans in place. There is a difference. It does appear to be worse for those in smoking ban places, so there indeed may be a decline in pull tab revenues and so on from bars around the state. On the other hand, internationally and nationally, there are short-term declines in revenues for these kinds of facilities when the bans go into place, but they seem to get back up to normal after about a year.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
May we hear from Tom Barrett on this issue?
At this time, we don't have time. Members have other committees to go to.
Mr. Chair, I've not heard this bill before, so that's unfair to those of us who don't serve on the policy committee. And I would like to know if this fiscal note is accurate.
Quickly to
Mr. Barrett in the audience, I'd like to hear from him.
Quick. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and as short as possible.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, Tom Barrett, Director of the Gambling Control Board, Representative Erickson and Representative Huntley both raised very good points. There is an impact as relates to charitable gambling from the numbers we've been tracking. Yes, charitable gambling receipts have decreased, but in those areas where there's already a smoking ban, there's a much bigger increase. The city of St. Paul, and I can leave a graphic illustration, for the last 3 years where there's been a ban and then a total ban subsequently in the city of St. Paul, it has progressively decreased, and it hasn't rebounded yet. We've heard where there might be some rebound, but those are the things we're tracking. I do emphasize the board's neutral on the policy, but because of our role in regulating charitable gambling, there is a concern in watching over the charities and how they're operating their accounts as it's going to relate to their maintaining their expenses or maintaining the charitable contributions. All that aside, as far as the decrease, the estimated $5 million decrease in sales tax with the decrease in revenue, but there is an impact. Talking with our counterparts at finance, we discussed in length the fiscal note, and it was their stipulation that it's a secondary impact as relates to this bill, and that's why you're seeing a zero related on the fiscal note. But as you see in the narrative, we do have our input in terms of the impact that we're tracking, and we'll continue to track and monitor the impact.
And Mr. Chair?
And Representative Erickson, one last comment, then we do have to move to the...
Well, Mr. Chair, I want to refer members to the handouts that were provided, Minnesota Gambling Control Board, Impact of Smoking Ban on Charitable Gambling Receipts. Charitable gambling in this state has been ever so important to our communities, and it is, of course, something that only our organizations that sponsor charitable gambling, like the American Legion and the VFWs, provide for their charity giving. And I think we need to pay attention to these handouts and note how this industry is being ruined by the smoking bans, and I hope that we have citizens who rise up who find that this legislature is not being responsible, not only because of charitable gambling, but because we have a constitutional obligation, and we are now moving into a realm, I think, that crosses the line of the oath that we take.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. We are going to go to the vote on this amendment. Roll. Representative Lopper.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out on this handout that we are all provided, if you look on the back, the peak of charitable gambling was in 1995. There has definitely been a long-term trend here.
Thank you, Representative Lopper. We will be having a roll call on the
Mr.
amendment.
Chairman, to the amendment itself, I had an amendment to the amendment. I don't believe I was recognized.
Representative Dean.
I'd like to add on 1.3 after the word VFW and disabled veterans rest camps.
Okay, Representative Dean moves on 1.3 to add disabled veterans rest camps. Representative Anderson, do you incorporate that into your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson incorporates the language into his motion on the A26 amendment. I think we all know what the amendment has done, so we'll just have a vote on that. Representative Huntley.
There's another part of the bill that we put in recently that says that gets this bill in compliance with federal law that does relate to nursing homes and allowing people to smoke in nursing homes, so that part is already in the bill.
Okay. On to the amendment. All those in favor signify by aye. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yep, you incorporated them. Okay, to the vote on the A26 amendment. Roll call has been requested.
Hush.
No.
Abler?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Broad?
Yes.
Bunn?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Fatwald?
No.
Huntley?
No.
Liebling?
No.
Lothar?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otremba?
No.
Pepin?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Rude?
No.
Slowick?
No.
Towel?
No.
Walker?
No.
With there being 8 ayes and 12 nays, the amendment is not adopted. On to the 827 amendment. Does somebody wish to move that? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the 827 amendment.
And if we could just have the author of the amendment and then the author of the bills address the amendment, and then
well,
we'll
Mr.
try to...
Chair, if we're going to ban smoking, then we should also have a ban on artificial trans fats for these businesses that are going to now be under the thumb of the government when they are privately owned.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. And Representative Huntley, to the amendment.
Yes, and Mr. Chair and members, I've actually lectured on trans fats for 20 years, and for 20 years I've been telling medical students that someday they're going to say these things are bad. And yes, they are bad, and if you can avoid them, you're going to be much better off. However, it does not relate to this bill, and so I wish you to wish the members would vote no on this amendment.
And Representative Erickson, quickly, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like a roll call on this, please.
Okay, a roll call has been requested on the 8.7 amendment. One comment. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One big difference here, folks. If you decide to consume trans fat, nobody around you is going to consume it, just you. So there is a difference.
Thank you, Representative Gottwald. The roll call has been requested on the 8.7 amendment.
And you're stripping me.
Huh?
No.
Abler.
Anderson.
Yes.
Broad.
No.
Bun.
No.
Dean.
Yes.
Erickson.
Yes.
Fritz.
No.
Gottwald.
No.
Huntley.
No.
Liebling.
No.
Loeffler.
No.
Murphy.
No.
Otrumba.
No.
Pepin.
Yes.
Peterson.
No.
Rude.
No.
Slowick?
No.
Howell?
No.
Thiessen?
Whoops.
Sorry. Walker?
No.
For there being four ayes and 16 nays, the amendment is not adopted. A25 amendment. Somebody wish to represent Pepin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley. My amendment is very simple. It just says that before this becomes effective, 30 days after the governing body of each Native American reservation in Minnesota adopts this. And I think this is timely because it was probably about 10 minutes ago, Representative Huntley, that you said, and I wrote down your quote, that VFWs also have employees, some of whom don't have a choice. Well, Representative Huntley, I have a cousin who works at one of the tribal casinos, and since we have an exemption in your bill, I think that it's only fair to level the playing field. If this is truly a health concern of workers, then I think it should be a health concern of all workers in the state so that we can level the playing field. It shouldn't just go to some people and not others. I think it should be, I think if that's the way we're going to go, then let's remove the tribes as well, and let's make them have it vote on the ban before we make it a state law.
Representative,
and I would ask for roll call.
Okay, Representative Pepin moves the A25 amendment and requests a roll call. Representative Huntley to the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, there is no exemption for casinos in this bill. There is an exemption for religious ceremonies, and it's quite clear. We've received information from House Research that we cannot pass a law that affects Indian reservation land. There's not an exemption in there, but this law will not apply to them because of federal law and our arrangements with the tribes.
Representative Petron.
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, I've been told by someone that a recent Supreme Court case did prevent tribes from opting out of a pesticide ban, so I'm not sure that this would violate anything constitutionally, and furthermore, it's not a mandate. It doesn't mandate them to do anything. So I don't know how it would be, anyway, it would not be possible for us to do this.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, again, the Constitution says that, yes, if the state did ban smoking completely, every place, and outlaw the selling of cigarettes, then that would apply to Indian reservations. But this is a regulatory bill, and the law is quite clear. We cannot pass a regulatory bill that has an impact on reservations.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Huntley, how about casinos that are partially located on fee land. That's land that on which tribes pay taxes, such as at Grand Casino Hinckley. Most of that casino is on fee land. The state jurisdiction, does it apply there, Mr. Chair, or Representative Huntley?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Erickson, I'm not a lawyer and I haven't looked into that, but there might be somebody on our staff that knows that, but we could certainly look into that. And if state laws apply on fee land, then this law would apply. It would be my assumption, but I'm not a lawyer.
Mr. Chair, can we hear from someone like a lobbyist for the tribes who might comment on this?
We do have some more questions, Representative Erickson, and we're trying to move this bill. We have to have action on this bill. There are still, I believe, five amendments in front of us, and I'm trying to be as judicious as possible to let everyone speak, and I think I've been doing a good job calling on making sure members on your side of the aisle are being recognized. So I'd like to move on to some of the other questions with Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to point out that that this does talk about leveling the playing field among workers, that workers who work in casinos and on tribal property are no more or less important than workers across the state. I also would like to point out that this would create an economic problem for particularly small towns with casinos if we were to allow a monopoly of this type. Also, I would like to point out that this is a life safety issue and not just a statutory issue. We regulate as a state buildings on tribal lands, such as casinos. We regulate the temperature of the water used to wash the dishes. We regulate the depth and the exiting corridors. We regulate the air temperature. And this also falls relatively comfortably within life safety issues as outlined by the state building code. I see this as a life safety issue. I also see this as a public health issue for both Native American and non-Native American employees that this bill is aimed at. We look at coexisting conditions of hypertension and diabetes and smoke and that the effects that that has on workers in these environments. In a small town like Walker, Minnesota, where my family has some relatives, that's the largest employer in the city. And my niece has, who lives in Walker, has asthma as a primary problem that she's dealing with chronically. She wants to work in this particular place, the largest employer in town. She would be subjected to that, as would the customers and the Native American employees as well. So this is a public health issue. If it's going to be across the board, let's make it across the board for Native American as well as non-Native American folks with a lot of chronic conditions that they're working under. So I see this as falling very, very much within the realm of this committee, also the bill.
What time are we supposed to adjourn today?
Representative Rude, we were supposed to adjourn at 2 o'clock, and there's other committees coming up. Thank you. We are going to go to a vote on the amendment, and the roll call has been requested.
Hosh?
No.
Abler?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Broad?
Yes.
Bunn?
No.
Dean?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Batwell?
Yes.
Huntley?
No.
Liebling?
No.
Loeffler?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otremba?
Representative Otremba votes yes.
Thank you. Pepin?
Yes.
Peterson? Hope she's gone. Rude?
No.
Flowick?
No.
Tao?
No.
Thiessen?
No.
Walker?
No.
With there being 7 ayes and 13 nays, the amendment is not adopted. And to the A7 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move the A7 amendment.
Representative Broad moves the A7 amendment. To that amendment.
Mr. Chair, and members and Representative Huntley and Severson, I have a strong concern Well, we didn't hear it in this committee. We've heard it in other committees that there is an economic impact on some of these small businesses in Minnesota, especially in rural Minnesota. And while we talk a lot on the macro level, on the micro level, that certainly is impacting families in Main Street, Minnesota. And so, Mr. Chairman and Representative Severson and Huntley, all this does is that make sure that these folks, if they are supplanted, if they are dislocated workers because of the smoking ban, that we are going to provide them some services to make sure that they can get reemployed quickly.
Some of us don't have the amendment.
It's the A70180 amendment, Representative Liebling. Representative Huntley, to the amendment.
Again, Mr. Chair, we have heard from the board that looks at the job skills partnership, and their feeling is that the dislocation involved in this is, while it may be painful, but these people can obtain other jobs within their communities at other facilities, and they did not see where this would have any impact on their need to supply these kinds of training funds.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, they may be sure, but I'm not so sure. I just want to make sure that these folks are helped, and this will help do that. And, you know, if it's not too many, then we're helping a few, and I think we ought to go in that direction. We don't know what the full impact is going to be on a statewide ban. I think that there's some segments in Minnesota that we already have an experience and know that there are some dislocations that do occur. And so I think it's very fair. I think it's very appropriate. And I think it's common sense that we go in this direction and make sure that these folks are served if they are dislocated because of this ban.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Brown. No further discussion on the amendment. All those, Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real briefly, members. This is one that I'm really torn about because I was just listening to what you said, Representative Huntley. However, one of the arguments that the folks that have been supporting this bill has been that some workers don't have a choice to work here. And so to say that what you just said contradicts one of the strong arguments for the bill. And so I just wanted to point that out. I'm really torn about this amendment, but I just had to point that out.
Mr. Chair, I move for a roll call.
Representative Broad moves for a roll call. One last comment to the bill, to the amendment. Representative Anderson? Okay. With no further discussion on the amendment, a roll call has been requested. The roll call?
Hosh?
No.
Abler?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Broad?
Yes.
Bunn?
Yes.
Dean?
Yep.
Erickson?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Gottwald?
Yes.
Huntley?
No.
Liebling?
Yes.
Lothar?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otremba?
Yes.
Heffin?
Yes.
Rude?
No.
Slawick?
No.
Tao?
No.
Thiessen?
No.
Walker?
I'd like to change to no.
Representative Liebling changes her vote to no. With there being 9 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. The A28 amendment. We have 3 more amendments in front of the committee. Anybody wants to move the A28 amendment?
I'll claim it.
Representative Dean, to the amendment.
I'd like to move the A28 amendment. Mr. Chair, members, what this says, there's a provision in Representative Huntley's bill that exempts what would be truckers and people who drive something for a living if they're by themselves in their vehicle. But what it doesn't do is talk about folks in my district who are husband and wife teams who kind of drive across country in a truck, and they switch off, and they get kind of a cool cross-country marriage. I don't know if I could do that, but they do, and they like it. But what this would do is it would prevent them from having to pull over and stop so that one of them could get out and smoke a cigarette. It designates that if you've got somebody else in the cab with you, that you can agree to smoke.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, I'm not quite sure about the language, but I think this is fine. I have no intent to to do what this amendment would try to correct, so that I would support this, but with the caveat that I'm going to have some of the staff people look at the language and make sure it does what Mr. Representative Dean wants to do and also what I want to do.
Okay. The House research, I don't know.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we can got to go to at least one more committee, okay, and we can look at it.
And we can look at the impacts of the amendment during the meantime.
Yep. So,
any further discussion on the amendment? Good amendment, Mr. Dean. All those in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The A28 amendment is adopted. To the DE2 amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, that's my amendment, and because of the verdict that was said earlier and the fact that I knew that we would be getting to this point, I just decided that it would be, and I brought this up in policy committee, to ban smoking entirely in the state of Minnesota. That way we can get to those exemptions that we've been talking about here in committee, and we can just make everybody safe. So with that, I move that the DE2 amendment be passed, and that I ask for a roll call.
Representative Anderson moves the DE2 amendment and requests a roll call. To the amendment, Representative Huntley.
You want to go?
Sure. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. I think, you know, what we're trying to do here is to create a healthy environment in public places, restaurants, bars, and we're trying to, we're not trying to regulate people's lives here. We're trying to regulate the place where people come together to gather in a public place where someone isn't forced to breathe the smoke of another individual. So I don't think this bill is intended to do what you're trying to do here, which is infringe on individual rights.
I'm a roll. Representative Broad.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Severson, I think with all due respect, I think this does regulate people's lives, and I think what Representative Anderson is trying to do is make a good bill better.
With no further discussion to the amendment, to the vote, the roll call has been requested.
Osh?
No.
Abler?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Broad?
No.
Bunn?
No.
Dean?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yeah.
Fritz?
No.
Gottwald?
No.
Huntley?
No.
Liebling?
No.
Lothar?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otremba?
No.
Pepin?
No.
Rood?
No.
Slowick?
No.
Chow?
Yeah.
Ethan?
No.
Walker?
Yeah. That's my check.
Representative Walker, could you verify your vote? we're trying to count over here. And okay, with there being 5 ayes and 15 nays, the amendment is not adopted. To the A29 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A29 amendment. I do have an author's amendment I'd like to incorporate into that. Amendment to the amendment, I'm sorry. On the A29 amendment, I'd like to strike lines 1.6 through 1.10. And on line 1.11, after actions, after the comma, I'd like to insert under 144.413 to 144.417.
Okay, Representative Broad amends the A29 amendment by striking lines 1.6 to 1.10, and on line 1.11, after actions, adding under 144.413 to 144.417. To the amendment, Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, why don't we adopt that? You.
I'll adopt that. Okay. I'll incorporate that. Mr. Chair and members, essentially what this does is that it says that if the regulatory burden essentially becomes so great that a business cannot stay in business, that because of the state's action, the state shall commence condemnation and acquire the property.
Representative Hunt, or
Mr. Chair, I oppose the amendment, and I wish it would be defeated.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Broad. And I think, and committee members, this becomes a huge legal issue because now we have to determine whether it was the state's actions that actually caused the business to fail or whether it was due to the business previous functions. And it's a legal quagmire, and I would ask that you defeat this amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Broad.
Mr. Chairman and members, we spent a lot of time on private property rights and making sure that the government is not expanding takings over the past couple years, and sometimes the regulatory burdens that we put on businesses just get so great that it really does inhibit their ability to do business in the way they did them before the regulations went in place. So I really would encourage members to recognize that there are impacts on businesses, there are impacts on small businesses, especially in Minnesota, if we go to a statewide ban. And this just, I think, helps soften that a little bit more since the other amendment was taken out. And so, members, I would encourage your support, and I request a roll call.
Representative Broad moves that the A29 amendment be adopted, and she does request a roll call. To the roll call.
Barr?
No.
Sorry.
No.
Aber?
Anderson?
No.
Broad?
Yes.
Bunn?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Gutwell?
No.
Huntley?
No.
Liebling?
No.
Lothar?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Petremba?
Yes.
Heppen?
Yes.
Rude?
No.
Slawick?
No.
Powell?
No.
Jason?
No.
Walker?
No.
With there being 7 ayes and 13 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We are done with amendments and to the bill. The authors of the bill, Representative Huntley, receive it.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I urge you to support this vote, this bill. It will protect a lot of workers in a lot of places around the state. It just adds one more protection to workers in the workplace, and I think it's a very good bill.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Good discussion. I think Representative Dean probably gave the most compelling argument for why this bill needs to be in effect. It is a health issue, and it is a health issue that we as policy leaders need to take the lead on, and I would ask for your vote for the bill.
Some final words, Representative Pepin.
Yes, my final words are this is clearly a private property vote, and I would ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this is such a, as Representative Pepin is saying, such a violation of property rights. But it's also a controlling of people's behavior by those who don't approve of our having a right to choose where we want to recreate or even eat, and this is moving us closer to a socialistic state, and I ask for a no vote.
One final comment to the bill. Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We've talked a lot about rights here. We've talked a lot about how this is making us into a communist state. It is not. I've heard support on this from restaurant owners, from bar owners. Many of them have already accepted it. They've said, just let me know when this is happening. I hope we do it across the board. That's the kind of feedback I've gotten. And furthermore, if we're going to talk about rights, let's talk about the right of people who don't smoke or want to go eat someplace and don't want to breathe. Everybody who is of age has the right to purchase and smoke tobacco products. I'm not saying you don't. But I have the right, or somebody else who doesn't want to smoke that tobacco you bought and want to smoke, has the right not to have to breathe that. And it does impact their health, and we've got the Surgeon General saying that too. So I want to go someplace, a public place. I want to eat. I want to do something else. I don't want to smoke your smoke. I'm inhaling what you decided to smoke. Now, that's a violation of my rights. So we can talk about rights in both directions.
Okay. Representative Huntley renews his motion. Representative Huntley renews his motion for House File 305 to be recommended as to pass and be referred to the Finance Committee to pass as amended. I apologize. A roll call has been requested. To the roll call. Yes.
Huntley.
Yes.
Abler.
No.
Anderson.
No.
Broad.
Yes.
Bunn.
Yes.
Dean.
Yep.
Erickson.
No.
Fritz.
Yes.
Gatwell.
Yes.
Liebling.
Yes.
Lasser.
Yes.
Murphy.
Yes.
Otremba.
No.
Pepin.
No.
Peterson.
Yes.
Rude.
Yes.
Slowick.
Yes.
Chow.
Yeah.
Thiessen.
Yes.
Walker.
With there being 14 ayes and 7 nays, House File 305 does pass.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Huntley. The committee is now adjourned.